This episode of Undaunted is brought to you by Hip Hops, the collectible beer card game. Yeah, it's a deck of cards featuring 44 craft beers from all around the world. And it's a game that you can actually play with your friends while drinking beer. So cruise on over to hiphops.cards, use the promotion code RITUALMISERY, get free shipping. It's an amazing game. You should try it out. Hello and welcome to Undaunted, where each episode I talk with fellow podcasters from all walks of life and discuss what went well, what went wrong, and what just didn't matter. We'll share the good, the bad, and the many laughs and lessons along the way. I'm Amos, and today I'm joined by John Robbins of Never Forsaken Podcast at neverforsakenpodcast.com. John, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah. So you have an interesting podcast that I've actually listened to a few episodes of. Can you tell us about the Never Forsaken podcast?
Sure. Never Forsaken podcast kind of just started as a way for me to be able to connect Christians that are somewhat outcast or fringe, disenfranchised Christians, much like myself. The way I kind of came about it was that, there's a lot of podcasts out there that are like teaching podcasts, say from like well-known pastors, well-known Christians, and that's not really what I was looking for, and that's also not me. My journey, my religious journey or spiritual journey, has brought me in and out of various churches throughout my whole life, different denominations, and I'm very disenfranchised with church, somewhat disillusioned, we'll say, but never really lost my spirituality, never really completely lost my faith in God, although there's been times that I've questioned and doubt and been very skeptic. The problem that I've had is that with this type of mindset that I have is sometimes you end up not really being welcomed at a lot of churches, or a lot of pastors don't. Once you start to question or challenge or ask certain things, it's like you're rocking the boat.
Right, right.
So regardless, I thought, well, there's got to be other people out there like me. And I've read a few books here and there, and I'm like, okay, this guy gets it, this woman gets it, or they get me, they get my mindset. But here's the problem: everybody's scattered all over the country, all over the world, and it wasn't anyone that I was like friends with that I could connect with and have these conversations.
Right.
So the purpose of the podcast was for me to kind of bring these types of people together. Various backgrounds, and we don't really debate, we don't discuss religion per se, as far as to debate it or go get into doctrines or whatnot. And even if I don't agree with the person, it's okay. I just want people to have a voice and to be able to be heard.
Right. Very cool. See, the thing that got me initially is when we were initially chatting about the podcast, is you were talking about your, fringe religions or fringe spirituality, I think is the term you used.
Sure.
And about a decade, well, I guess not quite a decade ago, I went on a bit of a personal spiritual journey, which led me actually into paganism. So I really enjoy hearing other people and how they've gone through their own personal journeys and how they found their way, or found a new way, or however it matters to them. And one of the things that I like about your podcast is it like you said, it's not a debate, it's not a doctrine, it's not a lecture, if you will. It's more of just an open discussion on how individuals have found their path, and you kind of share a common goal. But it's not a lecture, like I said. It's not a directive thing. It's just an open conversation. How important is it to you to maintain that openness as far as the subject matter goes, and how often do you try to steer it back into a particular direction that you're wanting to go?
Well, for the most part, I mean, I like to keep it focused on Christ, and although there have been some interviews where I've interviewed some atheists, the reason being is not so much to discuss why they believe that way or not. And the few atheists that I have had conversation with have all had Christian background of some sort. Mm-hmm. One of my guests was actually a pastor and a missionary who ended up just really questioning everything to the point of becoming atheist. Actually, he gets into all the the specifics of the language, and he would say that he is not atheist, but he's agnostic, and I know there's all the linguistics of that, and for that individual, linguistics was something that he's actually pretty strong in. And another one is was a guitar player in a heavy metal band that where the singer and I think another one or two of the members are Christian. So he's kind of not really in a Christian band, but in a metal band with Christians. So I always try to keep Christianity somewhat at the core. And so, I mean, I'm not like trying to go out and find people from all world religions and just discuss their viewpoints. I'm trying to keep it somewhat related to Christ and to Christianity, even if it's somewhat of a spinoff from that. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had an interview with a Muslim, and the reason I did that was mostly just to kind of hear from their viewpoint, because most of what we hear on the media, you know, and on social media especially, which can be, I think, such a blessing and such a curse at the same time. You know, you hear little snippets of information, and I think a lot of what comes across is not factual.
It's very spun.
Yeah, you get the spin from it, especially with the news. You know, you turn the news on and hear presidential candidates or other talking heads are all giving their viewpoint. And so I was like, well, with certain topics, I'm going to go straight to the source, and I'm going to seek somebody out that actually is Muslim or actually has this certain belief, whatever it may be. One of my podcasts, I found a homosexual Christian, and we just had a nice conversation about that. Whereas if you just went on social media and had that conversation, it could become something pretty ugly.
Right. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about podcasting is that you can have your own take on it, an open conversation, and it's still, like, you and I are talking about podcasting, and like I told you before we started recording, it's not a matter of, for this podcast, it's not a matter of, I don't want to drill you and ask you specific questions, but we can still maintain the focus on podcasting and have an open dialogue between the two of us, and then we can release that open dialogue out into the public and share our points of view and get feedback, but it's not necessarily an immediate feedback, and it allows us to have the conversation openly and get the feedback without the spin, without the hate speech or, you know, the toxicity of an open environment such as social media. So podcasting can kind of is a blend of the closed conversation and the open media, and that's one of the aspects I really enjoy about it. But how did you actually decide, okay, well, this is, you know, I'm going to do a podcast about this right here. This is my topic.
Well, going back to before even getting into doing a Christian podcast, I had that atheist friend that I interviewed. He's big time into martial arts, and so was I for many, many years. Had my own martial arts school, and so that's how we kind of connected, was through some mutual martial arts friends. He and I had talked about doing a martial arts podcast and doing it together. So he and I co-hosting and bringing on a lot of different martial artists of various backgrounds. He had a lot of contacts, and so did I. We just kind of run into some problems with coordinating and time zones. We're in different time zones, and when we're going to get the same days off and the same time off to get guests. It's funny, we made a Facebook page and we kind of got it going, had a website all set and had a lot of interest in it, and it just wasn't going to work out. And at the same time, I was kind of coming back into a little bit of a strengthening of my faith, coming out of a long period of doubts and questioning. So I started just kind of thinking and said, well, I think I'm going to have a talk with him, and I'm going to maybe just do my own thing, being that I can control the time of it. And it was nothing against him. And I think if the time ever opens up in the future, I'd love to have a second podcast and go that route as well, now that I got a little bit of confidence with it. Yeah. So we had that conversation, and I basically said, well, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do this Christian podcast, but it's not, like I explained before, it's not going to be about debates or doctrinal issues. I just want to hear people's stories, people's testimonies. And I used to listen to a lot of Joe Rogan. I think that was my introduction into podcasting. And you would go, you know, you go on, you listen to Joe Rogan. He's got a lot of different guests talking about crazy stuff. A lot of feedback online on social media, but you know, he's really famous. He's Joe Rogan. And I said, well, I also don't want to do 3-hour podcasts. I want to keep it short, like a radio, typical radio show, about 20 to 30 minutes tops, and just let people share their testimonies. And so then it was like, well, okay, how am I going to get people to share their testimonies? So I kind of just started throwing it out there. Who's got a testimony they want to share? And I got a lot of my friends that said, okay, I could talk about this, talk about that. The only problem I thought with that was, well, you know, my friends don't have a large circle of influence, let's say, and I'm thinking I'm not probably going to get a lot of people that are going to listen to the show if it's just with me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Did the first podcast with a old worship leader friend of mine from a church I used to go to, who's actually got somewhat of a online following, being that he's put albums out and whatnot. And so I did the first recording with him. And as you know, that, you know, everyone that, who teaches podcasting tells you to get several shows lined up before you even launch.
Right.
So this is all pre-launch. I interviewed with him, and then I have a couple of podcast friends that kind of have been helping mentor me along the lines. And one of them, I was listening to his podcast, and he was talking about getting guests. And he was explaining, you know, there's nothing wrong with just going for it. Just ask that famous person, you know, not that you're going to go to, I'm not going to ask Joel Osteen to be on my podcast when I don't even have any podcast established.
Right.
But I was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. But, you know, here's the thing is, like, I just don't know who to ask. I didn't know who to reach out to. And, you know, you kind of get a little bit scared. So talking with my atheist friend Joey about it, the one I was going to do the martial arts podcast with, and just randomly over the next week, he sent me like 2 or 3 articles about the kind of struggle I was having in my faith. So it was just articles completely separate from the podcast, just related to my faith and somebody who was struggling with faith and kind of coming out of it. Well, come to find out, the 3 articles that he sent me were all by the same author. And I said, oh, okay, this might be the opportunity that I need.
Right.
So I sent her an email and I just kind of explained what I was doing, and she was totally down for it. Now I'm just like, wow, this is like a published author is going to speak with me. So,
yeah.
You know, you get real nervous, and we recorded the podcast and it didn't go so well. I think the interview was okay, but technically, like, we got about 8 minutes into the podcast, and I'm just like I'm doing with you, you know, I could see her, but I keep my video off just for the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see my red lights not blinking, and I'm like, Reba, I haven't recorded anything up till this point. And she was kind of like, oh, man, okay, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I was just so embarrassed. I'm sitting here, I'm sweating, you know, with the headphones on, talking to a complete stranger, looking like a fool. And I was like, could we, any chance we could start over? And she was like, sure. She goes, yeah, we'll do it. So anyway, we get through it, and it ends up being pretty good podcast. And then I asked her at the end, I said, would you happen to have any recommendations for me of people that I could interview? And she gave me 3 or 4 names, and I'm just like furiously scribbling them down. And I'll be honest with you, Anthony, that's just kind of how it just started from there. And I had only made my Facebook page. This was a new page I had started earlier this year. And I'm like, you know, I had like 80, 90 friends or something. And so I just started reaching out to authors and Christians of other types of backgrounds, mostly authors. I think authors are great because usually an author is sharing something that a lot of people want to hear. And mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if I bring on this certain author, like Reba Riley, she was talking about post-traumatic church syndrome. Kind of, yeah, it's a great little phrase that she coined and talks about in her book. And that just kind of led me to this person, to this person, to this person, and it's just kind of snowballed from there.
Wow, that sounds actually really awesome. That just an organic growth from a single opportunity.
Yeah, it definitely was, and not something that I expected to grow that quickly. And then to the point where, you know, I'm actually booked all the way through January now, which I have enough shows that will take me through February. And I guess that's a good problem to have. I thought I was going to be struggling to find people, and it's not really the case.
That sounds awesome. That's similar, I think, to how this podcast we're recording right now came about. Is I've got a few Facebook groups that I hang out in with podcasts and stuff like that, and I put out the idea, hey, I want to talk about podcasting, about not the commercialized stuff, not the hey, I'm trying to sell you a product or whatever else, just a let's just talk about the good stuff, the bad stuff, the what we found out about it. And I was surprised within just an hour or so, I had 20 or 30 people saying, yes, I would like to do that. And now it's just a matter of I'm fighting the time zone battle you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
With me being in Korea and everybody else being in the States. And there's been a few mix ups with the service that I use with converting time zones over and things like that. But I think it's finally ironing out. And what I'm finding is this is the third episode that I've recorded. I don't know if it's going to be the third that I release, but it's the third episode I've recorded. I've got about five more lined up within the next 2 weeks or so. And I'm finding that that each of the conversations that I'm having is so completely different from all the others. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And in each one is just, it's a really good time. And it's one of those things that the shared aspect of it, the everybody has a slightly different background, how they got into podcasting and where podcasting is taking them. Can you share a little bit about that? Like, you talked about jumping into the podcast, but how's the podcast grown? Not only how have you grown with it, but how has it grown in and of itself from, the idea, hey, I'm going to do this and release this, to what it is now?
Well, I'll start with that second part of it, is talk about the podcast directly and then talk about myself, I guess, a little bit. The podcast itself, it's like as soon as I released it, I ended up releasing with only two episodes. And, they tell you usually like 10 is kind of the recommended.
Right, right.
But I don't know, man. I had this like I felt like I was just sitting on these eggs that were ready to hatch. So and one of my mentors was like, what are you doing? You're putting it out with only two. Why didn't you wait? And I'm like, I don't know. I felt that it was time to do it. And I had enough interviews lined up that I wasn't going to be, hurting in a couple of weeks. So it started to just grow slowly from there. And, I might get like 20 or 30 people listen to it, which honestly, I didn't even had anything to compare it to. Now, I know, you got Joe Rogan's show is like a million downloads an episode. So I couldn't even think about that, but I wasn't listening to too many other podcasts at the time, which I think was unique in that a lot of podcasters listen to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I don't really listen to a lot. I listen to a few, and I listen. Some people are like, oh, I listen to 20 podcasts a week. I'm like, I don't really have that time. I don't know how you do it. And only like one of the ones I listen to, or maybe two, are even Christian. In theory, in theme, because I think it's important to listen to other stuff that is not related to what you're doing as well. Right. I want to sound like I was copying people. So I think that's why I listen to some different business ones and whatnot. But anyway, getting off track with that. But it just started to grow. And then I would say I just put out, this week was my 19th episode. And I probably have about 2,500 or so downloads total.
Wow.
Averaging
nice.
A little over 100 per episode, give or take. Some might be a little less. And then I've had a few that are up in the couple of hundreds, 200, 300, 400. But not having anything to compare it to, I didn't really. I kind of get excited at least that somebody's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think somebody's listening. I don't know if they're downloading it and not listening to it, or I don't know how that all works. So I don't know if somebody listens to 5 minutes of it, if that counts as a download. I'm not really sure.
Right.
I'm not technically savvy in that way, but I'm just excited that anybody's listening, and I get a little bit of feedback. I think that the feedback is not as much as I would like it to be on social media. You'll get a few people, like a handful, that will retweet it or click like, but I was kind of having this expectation there's going to be a lot of dialogue about it. And I'm not really seeing that until this most recent episode. probably this guest, she had a lot of friends that shared it and commented on, you know, kind of like a congratulations to her, which is great. But I'm not getting the conversation about the shows that I thought I would get, which I don't know if that's to be expected or if my expectations are a little too high or not.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things. It's slightly skewed because the people that talk about it most are the ones that are getting all the feedback. So it's almost like they build up your expectation of it. I remember for the Ritual Misery podcast, you know, my main podcast that I've been doing for about a year and a half now, the day that my co-host and I realized we were getting more downloads than people we knew, it was, you know, it was like this moment. It was like, hey, we have, you know, I think the number was about 30 downloads. We hit 30 downloads about 4 months in, and we were like, there's 30 people. We don't know 30 people that are actually listening to it. People outside of our circle, our immediate circle of influence, are listening to us right now. And that was like such a moment, you know, that realization that, hey, we're actually getting out there. And now we're getting into the you know, the low hundreds. And, you know, we've been doing it for a year and a half. We have a great time. And, you know, we would love to have thousands of people, you know, downloading and watching because, you know, we usually put the Ritual Misery podcast on YouTube and things like that. And we would love to have thousands of people, but we're starting to get feedback. And just that moment when we crossed that line of, hey, more people are listening to us than we have introduced to it directly. And as that number slowly grows, it's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up because in conversations with people that I know that like are, you know, I go to work with and in my circle of friends that, you know, I talk about the podcast, I'll have a lot of them say to me, oh yeah, yeah, I've been meaning to check that out. I haven't listened to it yet.
Yep.
And so I'm like, okay, so the people that I know really aren't listening to it too much. And then when I go and look at my stats and now I'm not really a big stat guy anymore. I was for the first half a dozen or so, I'd follow the stats, check them multiple times a day and start to drive myself nuts. And I'm like, okay, shut off the stats and just let this thing grow. You know, when you have a baby, you kind of take care of it and you do what you got to do, but you don't, you know, you don't weigh it every day and you don't measure its height every day. And next thing you know, you got a teenager and you're like, holy crap, this, you know, where'd this kid come from?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep it like that, I guess, now. Not that I do check the stats usually once a week or so, but here's the thing that what you said, people outside your circle of influence, as I started noticing the different countries that I was being downloaded in, and the podcast has been downloaded in over 50 countries. Now, I've got some friends in other countries, but like, I don't know anybody in Saudi Arabia. I don't know anybody in Germany. You know, just for examples, I have friends in China and Australia, some other countries. I'm like, okay, maybe that's my friend there listening to it. But when I was getting like multiple downloads in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, especially some of the Middle Eastern countries, I'm like, wow, maybe this is reaching people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I know the Christian view in that country where it's illegal or whatnot. I'm like, somehow somebody's getting this and they're listening to it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what keeps me going with it as well. Even not knowing, you know, I don't need to have tons of feedback and people praising me. That's not what it's about.
Right.
Hopefully somebody's getting something from the messages that we're putting out there.
Yeah, we our first international download was from Spain, and I literally know zero people in Spain.
That's amazing.
And now every week we get you know, there's a small pocket of people that are downloading the Ritual Misery program or podcast from Spain. I'm like, I still don't know anybody in Spain. Like, how did it get there, and how is it sustaining? Like, you know, it's not a Spanish language podcast or anything else. So it's one of those moments. It's like, wow, yeah, that is very, very cool. So how about your personal growth? I mean, you're obviously on a journey. You seem to be one of those people that's you're not settled in your faith. You're constantly looking for more ways to express it and to find your own path and make sure that you're staying true to yourself. Has the podcast helped with that?
Well, one thing the podcast has done has got me to read a lot more. And just one for the pure fact that I interview a lot of authors. So I'll get somebody's book and I'll depending on whether I really like the book or not, it's like a quick read through, or I really do get into the book. And some, you know, I don't haven't read everybody's books that the people I've interviewed, but at least I've gone through to, that's how you kind of get your questions and whatnot. So as you start to preview this material, it's helping me. It's growing me. It's growing my mind. It's opening my mind to other types of beliefs or to other little niche beliefs. Just for example, that kind of hooked up with one of these one guy that does ministry. I haven't interviewed him yet. Hope to in 2016. But he wrote a book where he's kind of got this bar church thing going on, where the church is in bars and they do a lot of homeless ministry. So I helped to support him at Christmas. They did a big thing in Denver, Colorado, Christmas in the Park, and I think they wanted to give out like 500 sleeping bags and gloves and all that stuff, and they ended up doing a lot more than 500. So it's just kind of like opened my mind to say new ideas, new things that people are doing as opposed to just church in the traditional way. Like, I never even heard of anybody doing church in a bar. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's pretty cool. So I made sure to get his book and read it, and I'm actually interested in maybe doing something like that one day. So it's definitely expanding my base knowledge as far as what's out there and what people are doing. And then I would say it's kind of been strengthening my faith as well, hearing people's journeys and hearing other people's struggles. I don't feel so alone in my struggle or in my kind of outcast status any longer.
Cool. See, and that's one of the things that I really love about podcasting. Again, of course, if you can't tell, I'm a huge fan of podcasting in general. And also, you know, personal journeys and how your life's experiences can take you to certain places if you pay attention to them and if you invest time into them. And I know podcasting for me has been a great outlet, not only of frustrations, but also a great way to expand knowledge. And one of the things we do is review TED Talks on the Ritual Misery program or podcast. And I keep calling it a program, like I'm suddenly switching over to TV or something. And and just forcing myself to watch a TED Talk, it makes me, you know, think about things that aren't just necessarily in my particular world. And that's one of the things that I really, really enjoy about it. So let's get into a little bit more of the actual podcasting. You mentioned before we started recording that you're not the most tech-savvy person when it comes to podcasting. How's your process changed from when you first started podcasting? You know, you just hit record on something and hope and pray that it's working, to, you know, where you are now.
Well, I still think I'm not really have evolved too much in that area. You know, it's funny, not knowing any of the how to's, I do have a nice computer, and that was the start of it. But I'll tell you something funny was one. My son's done a lot of recording on YouTube. Recording his playing Minecraft and all that, and he hosts Minecraft servers and whatnot. So I'm using his microphone, his gaming headphones, and I bought him a. He was like, "Dad, we need to get a pop filter." I was like, "Okay, we'll buy a pop filter." And he's like, "Oh, Dad, we need to get a boom." He's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, "Well, I'm not buying that because, like, I don't have a studio. This is like a desk in the living room. Like, your mom's not going to want a boom out here in the middle of the living room." So still using the Snowball globe mic or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had to learn, you know, just go on YouTube, how to podcast. I know I got John Lee Dumas's, his program, and I kind of went through that step by step. And, you know, I didn't know any of this. I didn't know how to record a call. I didn't know how to tag the podcast so that it, you know, has all the show notes and whatnot. And it was like, you know, I'm doing it just saying, "God, I hope this really works when it goes live." And then, like, lo and behold, it did. And, you know, they tell you how to submit the shows for approval. And I, you know, I've done that with iTunes and Stitcher and I'm waiting on the Google Play now and a couple others. But as far as, like, now, I know that I do need to probably get better in my technical aspect, because now it's like I have the show saved as a .mov file, and I I transferred over to this AIFF, run it through Levelator, put it into Audacity, and I know the basics of editing out all the times that I sniff and cough and all the dead spaces, and you know, and I can get the show up and running. And I have people tell me the quality sounds pretty good, you know, but I would like to, at some point this year, it would be my goal, is to maybe go back to the beginning and maybe learn a whole different program and see how I can make it better, see how I can learn to edit and just kind of fine tune things. One thing I did learn, I was probably about 3 or 4 episodes in, I didn't even know you could split tracks. So I was like, I'm trying to edit, and you know, it's all on one track, and I was all confused. I don't know how to do this. And then I'm a member of a couple of the podcast groups, and I seen somebody talking about splitting tracks. And I'm like, I had to Google split. how do you split tracks? And I was like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing. So that kind of helped me a lot in the actual editing of it, because you can't. There's no way you can really edit a podcast well without splitting the tracks out.
Yeah.
So I'd say every little bit here and there, I pick up a little bit of tips from the podcast groups have been pretty helpful, but I would like to actually set some time aside. I think a lot of my time has been focused on getting guests, researching the topics, and, you know, coming up with the questions and all that kind of that aspect of it. And I haven't spent a lot of time on the technical portion. So if I do go to Podcast Movement 2016, it's in Chicago. It's not far from me. When they got the breakout sessions, I think I want to try to jump into one or two little breakout sessions of technical. And then I can get rid of these gaming headphones, get something a little bit better. Maybe I somehow make my voice a little better. And like my intro, if you've listened to my podcast, I did my own intro. I got the music from episode number one. Is that the guy's a friend of mine, a worship leader. He gave me the rights to use his music, and I just spoke over it. But that's another thing I'd like to do this year, is have my intro and have an outro professionally done.
Nice. And have you gone down a path of trying to monetize the podcast at all?
You know, that's I think a lot of people, that's I think that's the goal with podcasting. You'd love to do it for a living. I mean, I'd love to be able to get up in the morning and just do this. I haven't spent a lot of time, I'll be honest with you, learning how to monetize it. I set up a Patreon page, but I've seen no activity on it yet. I had on my regular website, I had before I had the Patreon page, I just had it set up with PayPal. Somebody could donate $1, $2, $5. Wasn't really thinking about making money at the time. It would just be nice to at least cover my expenses.
Right.
And I figured if I could get, man, if 20 people were throwing $5 my way, that would be huge. So I know there's a lot better ways to monetize it. I just haven't really come up with a game plan as far as how to do that yet. But that's definitely something I want to look forward to possibly this year, or moving in, even looking ahead to like 2017.
Yeah.
A couple of my mentors have told me it's going to take a good year and a half to 2 years to really get a base, a fan base, and to really find your groove. And some people will tell you to try to monetize it from day one. But I think for me, this is something I've got to take a little bit slow and kind of perfect my craft a little bit before I worry about trying to make money off of it.
Right. That's one of the things that we focused on the Ritual Misery podcast is we would love to podcast full time. I mean, that's kind of the goal. If you're podcasting and you're taking it seriously, that's almost guaranteed to be your goal, is to be able to be a full time podcaster. Our bill is coming to our website hosting and everything else, all that stuff. You know, we use a lot of free services. And our bill just came in, it hit my email, and I did it, and I looked at our account that Kent and I share for podcasting costs, and the bill for hosting and the website and everything else, and then the dollar amount was almost exactly the same. So we have, it took us a year and a half, but we have finally hit zero balance. We're actually covering our cost.
Oh, wow. Big, though. I mean, that's something, because, you know, I'm trying to, like, treat it like a hobby, but not have the hobby mindset. if that makes any sense. It's like, yeah, that having the hobby, that's kind of how I justify it to my wife and family when she's like, well, what did you do all day, you know, on your day off? It's like, I did my hobby. I'm podcasting. I'm talking to people for fun. That's my hobby. And, you know, I think with wives especially, she's not involved in the podcast with me. And so she wants to see the monetary return from it. And that's understandable. She's like, okay, well, you know, you could have like worked overtime or you could have did this and made money. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to build something that down the line will be financially rewarding. But that it takes time to do. It's you got to relate it to like starting a garage band, I guess. And like how many millions of podcasters are there that are not going to make it or not going to make it big? And it's the same way with, like, you know, teenagers starting a band in their garage. They all want to be the next Nirvana. But I think you can't focus on that. And you have much better success if you focus on having fun, making contacts, you know, meeting people. I think the conversations I've had with people are – that's priceless. I mean, you can't put a price on that.
Right.
And even just reaching out and chatting with people on Facebook and whatnot has kind of just been uplifting. And so, yeah, it would be great to monetize it. I think that's the goal. At least, like you said, at least just to have it pay for itself. So I'm not paying out of pocket every month.
Right.
But you know, that's the manner of like, I don't do anything else really. I don't hunt or fish or, no other hobbies really. So it's just this. So I don't mind putting a little bit of money into it, but in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, I want to grow this and want to make something professional from it. So you kind of have to have both mindsets, I guess, working at once.
Yeah. One of the things that Kent and I do, the Ritual Misery podcast, I've explained this before, but we went a long period where we just weren't talking. Now, him and I have been best friends since eighth grade, you know, when we first met. And we're just those two people that no matter what the topic is or the conversation is, we can either, you know, ally ourselves on the topic or take opposing views and still have a very, very good conversation. And we would have these hours long conversations like, hey, you know, it'd be great if we could share this with people.
Yeah.
And the podcast became a way of him and I making sure, hey, let's talk at least once a week about stuff, just stupid geeky stuff that we like, you know, movies and comics and tech and that kind of stuff. And it went from that to, you know, this year, this year. In the middle of this year, we had Steve Perry and Margaret Weiss on, you know, two fantasy authors. And that was a huge moment, you know, someone we grew up reading and everything else, having Margaret Weiss on the podcast to have an hour and a half conversation with her just about random stuff and just, you know, get to be able to sit there and talk to her. Like, that's something I would never have had if it hadn't been for the podcast. And one of the things that I like to ask people is, how do you measure your success? What metric are you using to measure your success as a podcaster? You know, for me and Kent, it's maintaining that contact and, you know, nurturing our friendship, and our brotherhood really. And, you know, expanding that to where we do have the opportunity to talk to Margaret Weiss and Steve Perry and, you know, other podcasters. Richard Gunther's a good friend of ours that's come around, you know, really been nurtured because of the podcast and things like that. So that's currently our measure of success. Is to the monetary part of it is a matter of, hey, it's a justification to our significant others. You know, my wife and his girlfriend, like, hey, we're not just wasting our time. You know, this isn't just something we're dumping money into. But we would love to turn it into a monetization. But as of right now, you know, all of our goals are being met. And I think that's one of the things is, you know, very interesting. Every podcaster has a different set of goals and a different standard of success. So how do you measure your podcast success, and what kind of grade would you give yourself with it so far?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I think measuring it is difficult because
we drill down in this show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, measuring the success is difficult in some ways. I think that's multifaceted because obviously if I look at numbers, I feel like I'm doing okay. If I looked at it like a business, I would maybe be failing because I'm not making any money. But then again, when you open a small business, you often go without profit for some time. You know, I'm not a business major, but I know I did own a business for a while and we didn't really see profit for a little while. So in that aspect, maybe I'm just doing okay. I wouldn't give myself that well of a grade, but it's early. I mean, 19 episodes is not even, that's just a couple of months. So I'm really, really just getting going with it. So I guess I measure my success in, am I getting to talk to the people that I want to talk to? You mentioned, you know, you had one of your favorite authors or whatnot. Like, it's like a total fanboy moment. Mm-hmm. And my son heard me use that word, and he was like, no, Dad, don't use that word. And I'm like, yeah, but if I got to talk to so-and-so on my podcast, that it would be like I have a couple people that I want to talk to that I've reached out to, and they haven't said no.
Yeah,
I think they've just ignored me. And so that's okay. They haven't said no. Because, you know, Facebook's funny because, you know, you send and you can see when somebody reads your message. And I'm like, okay, well, so-and-so read my message and there's no reply.
You know?
So it's like, all right, I'm going to wait a couple of weeks or wait a month or two and maybe message again or somehow I'll hit them up. So for me, that's kind of a little measure of success. Am I getting to talk to the people that I want to? And am I helping others? Because I like to think, and hopefully there's some truth in this, that when I'm speaking with an author about their book and I'm helping promote their book, I'm hoping that I'm helping them as well. You know,
yeah.
So I don't know if there's any direct sales, but I mean, for me to talk about Reba Riley and her book and talk about post-traumatic church syndrome, you know, I'm going to share the heck out of that on all mm-hmm. my social media. So hopefully that causes somebody else to say, hey, I'd like to check this out. And maybe they share it with their friends. And so I don't know that I can concretely measure that success, you know, because I don't know if anybody's going to any of these authors or any of their guests and saying, hey, I bought your book because I heard John Robinson, Never Forsaken podcast, and I just had to get your book. Is that happening? I don't know. Maybe not. But, you know, if that did happen, that would be like, okay, wow, that's pretty cool. I definitely impacted somebody in that way. So, boy, it's hard to give myself a grade. I would say I'm probably just right about where I want to be at this moment in time. So I would say 19 episodes in, I give myself a B, maybe. B minus, borderline average. I'm kind of hitting all the areas that I want to, but I definitely have a lot of room to improve and to make the podcast better.
Very cool. See, I like the fact that you're sitting back and that was an off the cuff question. You know, I haven't prepared. You know, you saw the show notes. I don't have canned questions, things like that.
Yeah.
So, I like to get an honest reaction from things. You know, that's one of the reasons it's called the Undaunted Podcast, because I'm not going to be afraid to ask, you know, crazy questions. Now, what troubles have you had? Like, have you had that moment where it's like, oh man, I've been doing this for, you know, a month and a half, and my life would have been so much easier if I had done this instead, or, you know, one of those aha moments where it's like, oh, this is the way I need to do this. You know, what pitfalls have you encountered and overcome?
I don't think I've really had that happen to me yet, other than maybe with a podcast or two, not being as prepared as I should have been. So, you know, you sent me show notes that had nothing on it, really. So I was like, okay, well, I don't have any questions to ask my people. But I also don't do that with my guests either. I don't send them a list of questions. There's been a few guests that have asked me for it. They've said, you know, I'd like to at least know somewhat what we're going to be talking about. So I do have kind of show notes done somewhat. I wouldn't say I have like specific questions that I want to ask people, but just kind of a guideline. And then I'll usually start with something and then we just kind of see how the conversation goes. So it's hard to say, because some of the podcasts that I've done that I've had like a whole list of questions and things I wanted to talk about, some of them felt very dry to me. They didn't feel real organic, real live. Mm-hmm. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I really liked that interview as much.
Yeah.
And then some of them where I did my research, because I think you've got to do some research if you're talking to someone who is an authority of any type. You know, you don't have to do much research or any research really to talk to me because, you know, we're just having the conversation. It's okay. I'm not an expert in the area.
But even still, just that being said, I mean, I listened to like three of your episodes. You know, I usually go with the most recent. If they recommend one, I'll go with that, and then I'll just pick one at random, you know. And you know, just listening to your podcast gave me a little bit of an insight, so I understand the research aspect of it, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time digging into people on this either, because I think it does kind of corner your questioning and your line of thought if you go in with too much of a preconceived idea of how it's going to go. And I really like the open conversation. You know, we're having an open conversation. This is amazing. Like, you're coming up with stuff that I wouldn't have never thought to ask you, you know?
Well, that's cool. Yeah. And that's that's what I try to do with mine too, is just come up. If I'm talking to somebody and their book's about spiritual healing, obviously I want to ask some questions about spiritual healing. They're the expert on that. They're the knowledgeable one. They wrote a book about it that's published. But yeah, we do kind of end up sometimes going into a couple other areas, and I think that's good. I've had a few that I didn't put the podcasts out, and that's something too I'd love to ask you, is I probably have three or four that I've done that I've interviewed people, and I'm probably just not going to release the podcast, and mm-hmm. It's nothing against that person. I just don't feel the conversation really went the way I wanted it to, and so I blame myself partially, either not doing enough research or, you know, not everybody, like some authors especially, they might not be well-versed in speaking is why they write, before I even podcasted, backing up a little bit, I did want to write. I had a lot of ideas in my head, and I had ideas for books, and I was looking for inspiration to write. But I think that I couldn't narrow down a topic, and that's why I got into podcasting, because I said, well, I could talk about 52 different topics in a year's time doing a weekly show. So why would I want to sit and write about something when I could talk about 52 different things? Now I may get into do some blogging, because then I can change my topics up a little bit. But my point was, like, you talked about pitfalls. I think with a few people, it was hard to keep the conversation going. And, like I said, I don't fault them, but that might just not be their gifting or what they're good at. So, right. I haven't even, like, and I hope they don't hear this, but I haven't even like talked to those certain people and said, I'm not going to air the podcast if, you know, and thank you for your time. But so I don't know, have you had to, address that at all? And how do you deal with that?
We've never not released a guested podcast. There are a few episodes of the Ritual Misery podcast that will never make air. The one in particular, episode 48, will never see the light of day. And that's because we had, you know, we do pretty detailed show notes. It's not line by line, but we have a list of topics that each one of us wants to talk about, and kind of a little bit of preparation for each other. And he shares some links so I can kind of read what he's been reading and vice versa. And episode 48 was a post Apple announcement. And of course, doing a geeky techie, you know, podcast, that's one of the things we want to talk about. And him and I are both Apple fanboys. And we went on a 2-hour tear, and we didn't realize that it was that long. And when I went back to edit it, I was like, you know what? There's no way I'm cutting this down into a bite-sized chunk that I can release that's 45 minutes to an hour and a half long. There's no way I'm getting to that point. And he went back and listened to it, and we just called it quits. Like, we just kept rambling on. It was one of those things where we both thought we were far more prepared than we were, and the conversation just didn't have a good enough focus, and it's, you know, we just called it a wash. I know one podcast was supposed to be immediately after Kent retired from the military. We were going to do a podcast and kind of get that raw emotion of it. And he had partied a little too much, so we recorded it. But it was, wow. That's kind of an internal one. Like, we send that out to our friends, 'cause, you know, it's funny, you know, it's very humorous, but it's not one that we want to, that's not a public persona we want to put out there as something that, you know, that happens all the time or whatever. But, so we've had a couple that we didn't and won't release. And you know, our thing on our show is we're still in beta, you know, hashtag still in beta. Our numbers are still beta 62, you know, 'cause we feel we're still improving to the point where we're not ready to call it an actual episode number. You know, we're still growing so much and learning so much along the way that, you know, we are still in beta. So it's kind of almost a catch-all, a little safety net for us. But, you know, I don't know how I would, how I would treat an episode where we had a guest, especially if it was really prominent, that didn't go well. I might find that in this podcast before I find it in the Ritual Misery podcast. But I don't know. That's a tough subject. I would like to hear other people's comments on that, actually.
Yeah, I've never even really thought about it. And so, like you said, it would be a good topic maybe to bring up in one of the groups, one of the online groups, that, how do they deal with it? Because I don't want to offend the person. I don't want them to think that we didn't have quality conversation, because I think all my conversations were good. Some I just don't. It would be like a good conversation if we were like, you know, hanging out, having a beer, and we had, right. We were having a conversation, but I just don't think that they all translate to going out for the public to hear.
Right.
And not that it was anything inappropriate or anything. Just, I don't know. It's just a feeling you get, I guess. I mean, it's like when a band, I'll bring that reference up again, they make 20 something songs for an album that, they release 10 or 11 songs on it. And you're like, God, I would love to hear the rest of these. But maybe you really wouldn't, and then years later they come out with this, they'll do like a release album of B-sides or whatever. And you're like, yeah.
There's three or four that you're like, oh, that should have made the record. But the rest of them you're like, I'm kind of glad you didn't make me listen to this on the radio.
So it's kind of a little bit of both. But you know what? They're the artist. And I think as a fan or a listener, you got to respect that. And so maybe do we not treat podcasting as an art? Is it not considered an art form yet? If I'm the artist, so-called artist or whatever, and this is my podcast and it's my speech is my art, my words are my art. I don't know if it's being recognized as a legitimate source of artistic expression yet.
Right. And that's one of the things I would love to approach more in this podcast is just forwarding the artistry of podcasting and pushing that forward. And that's one of the reasons I want to keep the commercialization out of it. The people that, and nothing against them, Lewis Cognan and people like that do podcasting in a business format to help other people learn how to podcast. I've got nothing against them per se. I just don't feel that that's an area that I'm overly interested in. And I would like to get more of the genuine reaction and the organic feel of podcasting. And one thing that we have considered, I've had a few podcasts that went 2 hours long that we would cut down to, 45 minutes. Our goal is typically 45 minutes. We'll let it go up to about an hour and 15 if it's really good. But we've had some conversations on there. One in particular with a guy that goes by the name of Sergeant Muffin. we had this conversation with him, and then Kent fell out of the conversation after we closed out the actual episode, and him and I kept talking for another hour, about an hour, and it was just a really fun conversation. The things we talked about, stuff like that, we never would have gotten them into the show. But what I did is I went ahead and went to the patrons and put that on as a patron only exclusive. And I didn't have to do a lot of editing or anything else. It's kind of like, well, here's the raw cut of this show. And from the few people that have heard that and they've given me feedback, they're like, yeah, that was great. That was, you're right. It wouldn't have made the show, but it was added content that I had a great time listening to. And I think that's one of the avenues that we have, especially with Patreon and, having your own blog and being able to lock down certain pages or whatever else. But, that's going to be an interesting thing as, not only as we grow as podcasters, but as podcasting grows itself now that's really hitting the limelight and you've got so many people putting their hands in it and everything else. That's going to be an interesting, interesting thing to look at, how different people handle it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't really know where I'm at with that yet. I think, the other thing too, we talk about the popularity of podcasting and, a lot of us, we're small fish in a really, really, really big pond. And, so what's going to separate the artists, let's say, like I said, if we consider ourselves artists, I don't even know if I do yet. I don't know that I don't know that I quite put myself on the same level as a musician or an author just yet. Because I feel almost anybody can come out here and do this, where not everybody can make music, but really not everybody can come out here and podcast. I do think it takes a special skill set that we're continually finding. But I think more people think that they might have this skill set than, let's say, an author or a musician, let's say. The difference is here is you can just promote this yourself. I don't need anybody to validate me, and I don't need a music company, a record company to say, hey, great job, we're going to promote this all over. It's kind of up to me. But if right. you look at it, the internet's changed music in that way too. I mean, look at all the bands that do Kickstarters SoundCloud. And GoFundMe, and they're kind of giving the finger to the record label. And is podcast doing that to radio and to television? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, one of the things that makes me wonder is, you know, you spoke about Joe Rogan earlier. He's got, depending on which metric you look at, he's either got the number one or down to the number three podcast, as far as especially comedy goes. You know, you got Adam Carolla's up there, the Nerdist podcast is up there, Joe Rogan. How many of those people that are well known and have crossed over from one media to another and taken that audience with them, how many of them would succeed based solely on the efforts of just podcasting on their own? I think that's an interesting quandary that, you know, we probably will never get the answer to until people start crossing over from, you know, from podcasting into big media. But that's one of those aspects of it that I find very interesting, and I'm curious about how, you know, Joe Rogan, he's already been doing UFC for years. He's got a stand up. He's had shows and, you know, TV shows, you know, things like that. And then he crossed over into podcasting, brought that audience with him, and now he's, you know, huge. But how would he be doing if he was just podcasting and didn't have that audience carry over from previous? How would he be doing? And you know, that's an interesting aspect of it that, like I said, we may never actually see, but it's something that's constantly in your mind as a podcaster, I think.
Yeah, if it was compared to just you or me starting out a show, and I think it's the same thing as, like, when you go on iTunes, I don't know what category your show's listed under. What category do you put your show on?
I believe the Ritual Misery podcast is under social and personalities or something like that, and then this one is under podcasting. But of course,
so
this
what
one,
are your I, like? What's your competition? Let's say, like, who are the top ones in that category?
You know, honestly, I haven't even really paid too much attention to it because I know we're not showing up on the list yet. I think that's something that as our podcast grows and we start getting more serious and growing our fan base, that's something that we can really get into. But for the most part, it's so varied because we're kind of a niche program. You know, the open mouthed geek with the military background where we just, you know, talk about whatever. I don't know that we'd necessarily have a competing, you know, direct competition as far as that goes. And I'm not sure that we're necessarily cornered into the right category either. So now you have more of a broad aspect, but a very central focus on your podcast. So I'm sure it's probably easier to look at it, see where your competition is, you know, competition as far as how they're sitting in iTunes and things like that. So.
Yeah, because when I log in, I put mine under Christianity or religion or whatever, and it's like
right.
when you go on there, your top 10 shows are all, you know, well-known televangelists,
right.
Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and them, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, like you said, I said put competition in quotes because I'm not competing with them, but also, like, they have a following already. It's like you said, it's just like with a Joe Rogan, Adam Carolla, or any of them, you know. These people have already been preaching for many years and have big churches and big followings and written multiple books. And then I'm just this guy that's putting it out in the living room. And, you know, do I think I can make it big? I do. But I don't know that I'll ever be that big because I didn't already have an audience. Like you said,
right.
I didn't already bring the audience with me. So that's definitely a unique dynamic that podcasting does have. I almost think that if you're successful in any area, say Gordon Ramsay, I don't know if he's got a podcast or not, but he could. If Gordon Ramsay did a podcast, it'd be number one.
Yeah.
If he did a cooking show and interviewed chefs or whatever, it would be awesome just because it's Gordon Ramsay. You know, whether or not, you know, he's not a grassroots podcaster, but he wouldn't be doing it from his living room with, you know, PlayStation headset like I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah. He'd have a full setup with a team of people behind him, things like that. That does bring up one aspect of it, and I know we're going a little bit long here. I hope you don't mind.
That's good.
But have you thought about going into a network, a podcasting network, or joining a network, or starting a network, or anything like that?
I'm not sure if I know what you mean.
Well, say like there's the 5x5 network. They do a lot of different geeky podcasts and different nerdy stuff, different tech stuff, and they're all individual podcasts, but they all combine together to share sponsors and share web space and things like that. And that's it's a podcasting network is essentially what it is. Have you looked into that at all?
So is it? It's like I've never heard of that actually. So that's pretty interesting concept. Is it similar to like a television network? So
right.
You would have NBC, and then you have multiple shows on NBC.
Right.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's trying to model television or model radio with that, and I wonder what the success would. Yeah, I'd be open to that. I think anything that helps you, anything that would help me grow, and gain a larger. Gain access to a larger crowd, I think that would be great without selling myself out, because that's what television does and radio, because now you got to sell yourself out to sponsors. And especially with me having a Christian podcast, I'm not going to all of a sudden, I don't want a pharmaceutical drug company is the sponsor for my show or something that I don't believe in morally or whatnot. So that's what I do like about podcasting, that you can keep it your own. So I wonder if going into some type of a networking would take that freedom away from people or not. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, one of the things that Kent and I have with the Ritual Ministry podcast and this podcast, by association thereof, we have basically a loose association with the Night Attack crew and Diamond Club and things like that. And then it's it's not a cross promotional thing. It's a bunch of different podcasters that are all kind of part of the same community, and I think that's where we're comfortable at. And I don't know how we would approach a network affiliation, someone else, dipping their hands into our thoughts. It, to me, I can see a great benefit monetarily if you're sharing, if you don't have the downloads to get. A sponsor, but you and five other people combined do, and then you all share that sponsor. I can see that being beneficial, but then I question the originality of it and organic aspect of it, and how much that is going to, how left field can you go if that's where you want to take your podcast, if you have an association with a network with other people that are relying on you to maintain your numbers and things like that. So it's one of those aspects that I'm always curious about.
Yeah. Well, look at television and media in general. I think there's only, it's either like five or six corporations that own everything. So I don't want podcasting to be that way, because I would hate for all of a sudden I'm in some network and then they're like, oh, well, we don't want you to talk with such and such person because we don't believe in gay marriage. We don't want you to interview such and such a person because we don't believe in the Catholic faith or whatever it would be. I wouldn't want anybody telling me who I can and can't talk to, I guess. So I don't know if networking would go that far, or if you were able to just put together like-minded people in a network. That might be a possibility. I'd be curious to see how that grows and develops.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you would like to pass on, like aspiring podcasters or long-term podcasters that, you'd like to get that message out there and let them hear it? Or is there anything else that you, any other projects you'd like to pimp out there, places that you're looking to take your podcast to go or anything like that?
No, nothing really. I think I'm just pretty happy with the growth. I think if I continue to do, what I'm doing, it will be good. And so if I can just encourage other podcasters or up and coming podcasters, this was something that got tweeted out about me. I did have an article I wrote, off the top of my head, I don't know the site, but, a friend of mine who's a media marketer allowed me to write an article for her, and it was about being transparent in podcasting. And so I think that's the biggest thing is, for podcasters, just be transparent. And don't focus on the money. You know, I think that, you know, if all of a sudden, like, you found yourself tomorrow with no job and you're like, well, I'm going to do podcasting, that's how I'm going to survive, maybe you'll make it. But don't focus on the money. Just be transparent with your guests. Be open, be honest, ask good questions, ask legit questions. And I just don't have an agenda, I guess. That's for me anyway. I don't have an agenda. I guess if you have a show that does have an agenda, that's okay. But you know, I think just be open and be real, and people will feel that and they'll sense that, and I think you'll get better response as far as guests saying yes and coming on your show if you're just open with them.
Nice. And for the record, this show does have a very specific agenda. And that is to network with other podcasters and grow my own personal network of podcasters that I talk to, and, you know, maybe appear in other podcasts, things like that. And the conversations that I've had so far, just the three of them, you know, like I said, you're the third. It's been very entertaining and rather enlightening on how other people view podcasting and how they've taken it.
Right. Very good.
All right. And people can find you on Twitter at Never Forsaken.
Correct.
Website is neverforsakenpodcast.com. And of course, it is the Never Forsaken Podcast. And you said you do have a Facebook. You care to share that?
Yeah, facebook.com/neverforsakenpodcast.
Excellent, excellent. People can find this at ritualmisery.com. You want to support this show or the other ones that we do on Ritual Misery, that's ritualmisery.com/support. Thank you very much to you. And you can find me on Twitter at Ethan Kane. You can follow the show on Twitter at UndauntedCast. I thought I had Undaunted and then found out someone else had been, you know, just sitting on it, so that irritated me. And, of course, ritualmisery.com. The theme music is brought to you by Kevin McLeod. Thank you so much to him to allow us to use his music. Uncomptech.com. There's lots of royalty-free music you can get from there. For me, for John, and for all the aspiring and veteran podcasters out there, thank you for joining us on this journey.
Thank you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.